shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, 244-7199.
Good evening, Northern California. Welcome to the end of the world. We're going to go full send conspiracy tonight. My good buddy James Mazzotta is off watching a movie on the front lawn of the Reading Civic Auditorium. So I figured this evening we'd have some fun. We're going to go full send conspiracy. I got my good buddy Colin here. I think he's 3 degrees, 33 degrees further than I am down the conspiracy hole. But if you want to join in on the conversation, because I think this is going to be fun. So west of I-5, 605-4567, east of I-5, 605-4567, or you can join us online, kcnr1460.com. So these are interesting times that we are in, and I would say a lot of people are waking up, some pleasantly, some not so pleasantly. And you may have heard of the term taking the red pill or the blue pill. And sometimes you take the red pill involuntarily. And once you see it, it's kind of a jarring thing. I used to think that the term conspiracy theorist was a bad thing. But I've learned over the last couple of years to actually embrace it. The definition of a conspiracy theorist nowadays is somebody who questions the official narrative. And we live in interesting times where you're not even allowed to question the narrative. You just have to go with the official narrative. And, you know, there's no fun in that. So my good buddy here, Colin. Say hello, Colin.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
This is Colin's first time on the radio. So for him, it's the end of the world, too, but in different manners. I've known Colin for almost a year now, and we get together every Saturday or so, and we talk about, and there's a bunch of us that get together, and we just literally talk about everything and anything under the sun that's moving.
Literally.
That's moving, right? And without the filter of the official narrative. I would say for myself, probably one of the best things I did probably about 8 years ago, is turn off cable, all of cable. So no more cable news. No more CNN, no more Fox, no more MSNBC, none of that. And I didn't know it at the time, but now I'm realizing that was one of the best things that I ever did. Colin, why don't you give us a little introduction to who you are? You don't have to go into too many details. We need to keep your identity hidden a little bit. But give us a little hint of who you are and when you, quote-unquote, started to wake up.
A guy at work showed me the signs and symbols that Hollywood movie stars do, as far as, like, throwing up the hand symbol, like the OK symbol over their eye, like 666, one-eye symbolism, that kind of stuff. So I just started digging deep, and then once I realized that the astronauts do it too, I realized that they're all part of the same club.
Same club, that one-eye club.
The one-eye club.
The same one eye that happens to be on the back of our $1 bill.
Correct.
That we don't really pay attention to, but we're participating in this. We're participating in this one-eye club every single day.
Yes, we are.
Whether we want to or not. So where did the rabbit hole lead you?
Well, I mean, you brought up the whole 33rd degree, so, I mean, that's a huge part of it, and we hear that number all the time everywhere, especially NASA uses it a lot. I mean, we could dive down that.
Where'd you go?
Freemason rabbit hole.
Just give us a shot. Give us an idea of where you went when did you go down the space route?
Where have I not been? Probably a little over a year ago. So I looked into the Flat Earth Society, and anybody that dives down that hole, don't go to the Flat Earth Society. They will lead you astray. They're paid opposition, probably from the CIA, I would imagine.
It is funny when you look at the Flat Earth Society that they actually started around about the same time as NASA by a couple of people who knew each other, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so you went down the space rabbit hole, and how did that make you feel?
At first I turned away from it, and I had other people tell me, oh, no, that's fake. And then I just started looking further and dived down further and realized, okay, well, this looks like a lie to me. And once we found out, I mean, we know the truth about 9/11, so.
Well, not everybody knows the truth.
You're right.
We'll get to that one. Because I was still asleep during 9/11, I got to say, right? And then, so we have a little waking up moment. So for me personally, I've always been kind of interested in the relationship between the crown, the British crown, and the United States, right?
Right.
So it's been very interesting to me because there was something not quite right there. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then when you start to break down the whole maritime law thing, that we are actually under maritime law for the most part, and that our time and location is based upon maritime law, and the starting point is the City of London, right?
Yeah.
And the Crown, and that the Crown pretty much owns the bulk of the United States. It gets a little strange. But when I started to wake up a little bit was, what was it, Benghazi, right? I was still asleep during 9/11. I actually bought the whole thing. Like those darn terrorists,
yeah.
You know? Bin Laden, how dare he, right? Like,
right.
I bought that. I actually bought that. But for me, it wasn't until the Benghazi thing happened when all of a sudden there was some things that didn't quite make sense. Like the official narrative didn't make sense to me at all. And that opened up a whole can of worms from that moment on. And then somebody tried to wake me up to 9/11, and I couldn't quite get it. And then what was her name again? Dr. I'm going to have to look it up. And it's if you haven't seen it, it's a great series. It's a great long-time video. It's Where Did the Towers Go? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Did the Towers Go? And it shows you how to look at the 9/11 scenario with critical eyes and just ask them. So this is the one thing I've learned about being a conspiracy theorist, is oftentimes it just requires a very simple question. A very easy, very easy question, like, where did the towers go? People say, what do you mean? Where did the towers go? Right? They didn't come. We think the whole thing came tumbling down, but when we look, we realize that there was nowhere near enough rubble on the ground.
Correct.
To match the weight and the volume of the towers. And it isn't until you slow that whole thing down and actually see the towers evaporate into thin air. And that was really bizarre.
Yes, very bizarre.
And it was just a question, right? Where did the towers go? So what other rabbit holes have you – well, you've been down all of them. What's one of your favorite rabbit holes?
Favorite, not favorite, probably Pizzagate. I know a lot of people think that is insane, but
– we have 1 minute.
Pizzagate is really – it's a – very dark, dark rabbit hole.
That was very dark.
It's still dark, but it's good being awake, though, and seeing what actually happens to our kids.
Yep. Well, many people don't want to go down that rabbit because it's very dark, right? It's very dark. It happens. I think people would be very surprised to find out how much it actually happens.
Very, very surprised.
So, awesome. Well, tell you what, let's get into a very specific topic here when we get back, and we'll get into the whole flat Earth thing, because I think that's a very intriguing subject.
Very fun topic.
And it's it's all around you, right?
It is.
So thanks very much, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Yes, welcome back. As Adele says, this is the end. At some point, the sky will fall when it crumbles. I always thought that was an interesting lyric. So let's talk about flat earth, right? Because I'm one of those who people – you got to be careful who you talk to people about it, right? Because people say, oh, aren't you embarrassed that you actually believe buy into this? And I'm like, well – you know what was embarrassing is that 3 years ago I actually thought I knew what it was all about. And when you start to look at it I was one of those who actually full on believed that we went to the moon. I bought it. I bought it, right?
I bought it too.
I bought it. I bought that we went to the moon. I'm like, oh, of course we went to the moon. But then in 2020, 2021, with 2021 eyes, when you look at the, a good one is to look at the Apollo spacecraft, quote unquote, taking off from the moon, right? And you look at it, and all you got to do is you go, okay, does that look real to you or not?
Well, I was wondering who filmed them leaving.
Even my daughters, Madison and McKenna, who are 12 years old, I showed them the video without even saying anything, right? And the first thing they said is, well, who filmed that? Who panned the camera of the Apollo taking off from the moon surface? And what about those rainbow sparkles coming out of the spacecraft, right? And so it's just a very simple question without much explanation, but it's like, well, does that look real to you? Does that look real to you? We are now so used to making videos on our iPhones and video productions and all that kind of stuff, and even my daughter can make better videos than that. And so when you look at it, you go, yeah, that definitely looks fake. And then you go back in time and you realize that they were actually broadcasting that live over the television networks, and people were actually buying into that. Well, I don't want to say buying into it. They were fed that,
yes.
Right? They were fed that narrative.
Look,
we're at the moon. We're on the moon. And it's not until you start seeing one little trigger. All it takes is one little trigger to go, wait, there's something not quite right there, right? And so, and I'll be honest, I was one of those who took that for granted, went to the moon. Yeah, no problem. But then, forgot the name of that NASA guy who, when they interview him, say, yeah, we've lost all the technology. We don't have the technology anymore to go back to the moon, right? You're the Mr. Video Archive.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we lost all the records. We lost all the information, all the technology that it took to go to the moon, yet we're sending spacecraft supposedly to Mars, right? So there's a huge disconnect there.
Right.
So then we started looking into it, right? So the question is, what is the official narrative, right? And how do you prove that you're on a globe? How do you prove that? And people are very – and I was one of those very gullible. and said, well, you just look at the pictures of the Earth, and you look at that. And then they'll admit to you point blank that they're all photoshopped, right? There's no such thing as a photograph.
Well, then also, too, like, why would our government lie to us?
Well, so...
But once you start seeing all this other stuff, then you're like, okay, I mean...
You would never believe that our governments, plural, would lie to us, right? You don't want to. You don't want to believe that. But it's not until you see what's going on now. I mean, you can tell, right? What you got?
So Don Pettit is the NASA guy that says that we lost the technology to go back to the moon.
We lost the technology.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We destroyed the technology.
Destroyed the technology.
And it's a painful process, and but he would go back in a nanosecond if we could.
Right.
So interesting. That was what 60 years ago.
That's just one little piece of information that's worth just pondering, right? Just for yourself. We destroyed the technology to go back to the moon.
Yes.
Right. Just think about that for 1 second. We destroyed the technology to go back to the moon. If you're any kind of critical thinking, does that make any sense to you? Does it make any sense to you that we destroy the technology to go back to the moon?
Well, I mean, you know, they say we're at Mars, but we can't go back to the moon.
That's right. So then you look at the moon, right? Then you look at the moon. It's kind of fun to look at the moon, especially during the day, because all of a sudden you realize you can look through it. Right?
Right, yeah.
All of a sudden you realize you can look through the moon. And so you see the shadow of the moon, and you think, oh, you don't even think about it. It's blue. If it really was a shadow of the moon, it would be black. But it's not. You can look through it.
Right.
Right? So just these little weird little things, and you go, that's crazy. Okay. I'm always a fan of very simple math. Right? We talked about this. Very simple math. So if we are on a globe, how fast are we going? Do you know? Do you remember? We're supposedly spinning at 1,000 miles an hour
right.
in an easterly direction. Right? Slightly tilted. Right?
Right.
So we don't even think about that. We go, okay, we're spinning at 1,000 miles in an easterly direction, slightly tilted. So if we were actually spinning, and so it's just a question, right? Just a question for people to ponder. If we were actually spinning at 1,000 miles an hour in an easterly direction, and used to take off in a plane, going, east, right?
Right.
In doing 500 miles an hour, and the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, you'd never get to your destination.
Correct.
Right?
But the thing that they've come up with now is, well, the atmosphere is also spinning 1,000 miles an hour.
Great. So what do you do when you go westward then? Because then it's saying that the atmosphere right. is spinning at 1,000 miles in an easterly direction. It's spinning with the spin of the Earth, right?
Right.
That's what they're saying. So technically, if you was to get in a helicopter and just go straight up for 1 hour, just straight up and hover, in 1 hour you'd be 1,000 miles to the west.
Right.
Right. Have you ever done that?
sounds fun. I mean, right. I'm down for it.
Right.
Be a lot cheaper than actually flying there.
I know, right? Just hover. That's exactly right. So it's just little things like that we just don't even think about. We don't even talk about. I always thought that was very, very interesting. Now I will say that one of the most powerful statements to say is I don't know, right?
Right.
So even when we start talking about, well, the Earth is flat and stationary, and it's stationary, there that opens up a whole other can of worms of like many things that we don't know, right?
Right.
But the one thing I do know is that we're not spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and then another couple hundred thousand miles an hour in another direction around the sun, and then in total, and the official narrative is that we travel at about 1 million miles a day in the shape of a corkscrew, right? Left, right, up and down, and right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can measure that. I don't know how that would even be possible, but... Okay, we're supposed to just believe the scientists, right?
Right.
Okay.
So when you see a sunset, because we do say the sun is setting,
right?
We don't say the moon. We don't say the Earth is going backwards. So when you see the sun set, does it feel like you're moving backwards at 1,000 miles an hour or 600 miles an hour? Does it feel that way?
No.
So these are just interesting things to ponder for me. And I love going down these rabbit holes. And one of the guys on YouTube I like to watch is Eric Dubay. right?
Oh yeah,
he's
Eric's got some good stuff.
He's got some Eric Dubé's got some great videos. Hits the topic, and it's always a good sign when the official scientists don't want to debate him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Don't want to debate, because if he was to actually believe the official narrative now, what's his name again? What's the name of our official American scientist? I keep forgetting his name now.
Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? So he's the man.
Well, yeah, because now the Earth is pear-shaped.
Now the Earth officially
is pear-shaped,
slightly pear-shaped, right? Do you believe that?
Nope.
So when did you discover, Colin? When did you go down the whole flat Earth thing?
I think just over a year ago.
Yeah.
Just before I met all you guys. So, all my Reading Flat Earth buddies.
Yep. So, you know, I had that moment where I called Kim over and the girls, and I said, you know what, I have some bad news, because it took me about 3-4 weeks, and I said, I think I'm a flat earther. And it sounded really weird. It's like, I think I'm a flat earther. But I got to tell you, once I saw it, it was, to me, it was actually very humbling. And I felt really embarrassed for the previous 54 years, right, that I'd been, like, I totally bought the whole narrative, hook, line, and sinker. And just, that's when I started reading the scriptures a little differently, because mm-hmm. it's right there, the firmament.
Right.
Right? The firmament, right? It's firm, it's solid, right? And then, was it the Operation
Fishbowl?
Operation Fishbowl. Turns out the United States did the whole Operation Fishbowl thing, which if you haven't looked at Operation Fishbowl, that would be a fun one to go look up on YouTube. So the whole thing here is with this full-sin conspiracy theories. Because if you say you're a flat earther, you know, they look at you funny. But nowadays, there's enough people who, when you say it, they go, tell me more.
Yes.
What do you mean? And the whole thing is, like you said, well, why would our government lie to us, right? Why would all of our governments, quote unquote, lie to us? Well, what is the one thing that we're all being prepped for that is no longer a conspiracy theory? And we see it every day, right? Like 15, 20 years ago, you would say UFOs,
oh yeah,
and aliens.
UFO
was a conspiracy theory, right? And now all of a sudden, especially the last 10 years or so, and especially the last 2 years,
yes.
Right? What are you hearing about, right? UFO disclosures.
Yeah.
UFOs, aliens, hundreds of them, all over the place, right? And you can only have that. You can only have that UFO narrative if you have space and planets and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, what does all this stuff have in common? Asteroids.
Yep.
Fear.
Yep.
Keep everybody in fear.
I think it's keeping everybody in fear, but I also think it's making people think they are irrelevant.
Correct.
And that they have no meaning or purpose. Right.
Right.
Even with this whole pandemic thing, you know, the whole idea was, well, we'll keep people afraid, lock indoors, you know, be afraid of fellow man, and you're you're insignificant. Right? There's nothing you can do about it. It's the same thing with the UFO thing, right? It's all to make you feel kind of helpless. But once you see the opposite, you realize that there's actually more to this story, right? So even though it's full-scent conspiracy, I would say don't believe anything either one of us is saying at all.
Yeah.
And do your own research. If you want some fun rabbit holes to go down, definitely don't go to the Flat Earth Society, because that's specifically meant to make you look like an idiot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I would say on YouTube, even though many of the good ones are definitely censored, Eric Dubé has a great channel, lots of videos. And the new movie, On the Level.
Yeah.
On the Level,
yes.
Too.
Yeah. Also, Flat Earth Brothers are really good as well.
Yeah. So that's been a fun journey to go down to. Well, if you have any input on this, good or bad, don't call. But if you if you have questions, 605-4567. I think this is kind of a fun topic to go down to. This is the end of the first half hour, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
Yes, it does.
This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone. We are back. This is Nigel, and I got my good buddy Colin here. And we're going full sand conspiracy. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Which once in a while is a good thing to do. It's kind of fun. Get out of the official narrative and, you know, let's throw some eggs at it. So you know what I've actually enjoyed researching is this whole concept of Tartaria, right? I forgot what the official narrative is, but they don't really want you looking down that whole path, Tartaria. But it was, and Wikipedia is referred to as a kind of an empire in Russia, took up Russia and big part of China before our time. But when you go down that path of what people are calling Tartaria, I think it's kind of become a blanket term for the civilization that was here before us, right? So we're fed this official narrative that, especially in the United States, that Columbus came here and there was nothing here, just some Indians and there was no civilization or nothing, and Columbus landed and it was just wasteland, right?
Right.
But again, when you start to just open your eyes a little bit and just especially open your eyes and ask some simple questions and do a little research, right? Tartaria is kind of a blanket statement for the civilization or the culture that was here before us all over the world, right?
Right.
And you see that, you see the similarities in the civilization of what's left of it in our architecture, right? Especially when you look at some of the old architecture that's still standing, and you look at some of the older architecture here in the United States, and you can look at the older architecture in South America, and the older architecture in Canada, and in Asia, and in, you know, Southern New Zealand, right?
Yeah,
Australia, everywhere. And my gosh, it's all the same. Like, how did that happen? Have you gone down that rabbit hole a bit?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Tell me.
Well, I have discovered that a lot of these cities were destroyed by wars.
Right.
So military goes in and takes out these cities, or burns them.
Dresden. So
the Chicago fires.
Fires. Right. All these convenient fires.
Correct. Like we're having now.
Right. The food processing.
Yes.
The food processing plants. No, this
that's
is
a coincidence.
This is a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, they just missed the runway by about 4 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but that is true when you start looking at some of the older cities, and the World Fairs, well, Chicago, San Francisco, right here, New York, and there are a bunch of others. When you start looking up fires in American cities in the 1800s, and you go, oh my gosh, that's a coincidence. All of these in the early 1900s, right? All these big fires. And then you look at the the fires other places of the world, other cities, and oh my gosh, all around the same time, they were all just kind of burned down, right?
Yeah.
So what did you find?
So like with the World Fairs, one of those things is they constructed a city in a matter of like 6 months. Like these magnificent cities that we couldn't even build them today. They construct them in 6 months and then they tore them down a few years later. So they spent millions of dollars to do this just to tear them down. That's odd.
And when we say big cities, all you have to do, thankfully, a lot of the images are still up. But if you look at the look at images from the World Fair, the Chicago World Fair. What was that? Late 1800s, I believe.
Yeah.
And there was even the one in Nebraska. I think it was Nebraska. Yes. That was a big one. When we think of Nebraska, we think of flat nothing. But when you look at the World Fair in Nebraska, and you look at the gigantic city that was constructed out of nothing, right?
Right.
And then what are we talking? 1800s.
Well, when they had cart and buggy.
Cart and buggy.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. Horse and buggy.
Horse and buggy, right? And no electricity. I think the electricity was just about being quote unquote invented.
Right. Right.
There was no electricity, and they quote unquote erected these things in record time. So what was interesting about that for me is when you start going back to the old newspaper articles, which you can still find. Right, from the 1800s.
Yeah.
late 1800s, where people were actually describing what they had found in what we call the United States of America as they traveled westward, because they actually found the cities, right? They found these cities that we say were built in the late 1800s or 1900s, right? And I've sent a few people down this rabbit hole, including... San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. Remember when you look at San Francisco and you see the video, and there's plenty of videos, but the video of San Francisco in 1906 going down Market Street in 1906, right? And all you're going to do is just stop and just like ask yourself a couple of questions, because when you see San Francisco in 1906, it looks like a city of about 500,000, give or take. Maybe between 500,000 and a million. I mean, it looks like it's a big city, right?
Right.
And it's all built up. When you look at a city like San Francisco in 1906, and you look at it, and you ask yourself with just a plain question, how long do you think it would take to construct that city, right? And anybody with a clear frame of mind would say that probably took a solid 100 years, 50 years to get to that point, right? But this is 1906, and according to the official narrative, somewhere in the mid-1800s, there were about 50,000 people in San Francisco. And then by 1900, there was like 100,000 people. So all of a sudden, so the official narrative is there are about 100,000 people who are living in this city that looks like it's a city of 500,000. And they apparently built that in 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So.
So real quick, one thing that comes to mind is when they were building the bridge going across Shasta Lake, just before Lakehead took, what, 10 years to build?
Yep.
Amazing.
One bridge, 10 yes. years, right?
But they built that city.
But they built that
20 years.
That city of 500,000 people in a matter of 20 years. It took 3 or 4 years to build this one building here in downtown Reading, right? So then the question becomes, so you look at this giant city, San Francisco, 1906, and you go, okay, I wonder what the window business was like. What was the window the window industry in San Francisco in, let's say, the late 1800s? Did they have the facilities and the factories to, oh, I don't know, manufacture what? 100 million windows?
Right.
Glass factories. How many door handles? How many door handles when you look at this city, when you look at San Francisco in 1906? And you go, how many door handles alone were required to build that city? And did they have the industry to make that happen? And you start to look at it and you go, okay, there's something not quite right here. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm a little far-fetched for me.
Right? And then, so when you go down the Tartary thing, actually my favorite. So the whole American, the official American narrative doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
Doesn't mean we know exactly what happened, right? Because there's still many things were erased, right? And when you start talking to people who go down those rabbit holes, you realize the Smithsonian has taken quite a bit of evidence, I would say, from the Grand Canyon and some of these other places, where if you wanted to research it, it's been taken away from you, right?
Right.
And I know firsthand of some people who went down those rabbit holes and they would just said, don't go there.
Yeah.
You can't go there, no. And so Tartaria leads to one of my favorite topics that I'm actually digging into now, and that's the whole star forts. And people go, what are star forts? Right.
Well, the perfect example one is Statue of Liberty sitting on a star fort.
Statue of Liberty is sitting on top of a
star fort. They filled it in with concrete.
It's a very small star city,
yes.
Star Fort, right? probably one of my favorite YouTube channels again. Ooh, I think everybody who comes across this channel is at least enlightened a little bit and starts asking questions. That's John Levy.
Yes,
John Levy. Or Levi, L-E-V-I. He's got a great channel where he just questions everything, right? Just question everything. Doesn't mean you know the answers. Right? Doesn't mean you know everything that happened, but at least look at things and realize what we're being told doesn't add up at all.
Right.
Right. And so the Tartary thing, the American history piece, the old buildings, cathedrals, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
Cathedrals, right? With the organs. Organ.
Yeah. Well, and also the giant doors on the cathedrals, and then they make the small, tiny door for us humans to walk
right
through. Okay, that's so, another one.
Why were the original doors 40 feet high?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do we have a question that? We go, no, we just walk right through them. And so it's kind of a fun thing to go, why is that?
Well, John Levy has a really good one on his. I think the door is probably 60 feet tall, and then little humans down at the bottom.
Maybe the 60 feet doors is for the ego.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you'd hit it, but.
So I love the whole topic of the star forts, because you realize when you look at it that there's no way that we could just take a hammer and chisel and make them.
Well, and the cool thing is you can look up on DuckDuckGo, Google
Earth, you can see them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they actually have a list that you can go to and find all the star forts. Fort Bragg is a star fort.
Yeah. Turns out there's thousands of them.
Yes.
So excellent. Thank you very much, Mr. Collin, and we will be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
We're back. Full Sand Conspiracy. This is our first shot. This is my first shot doing a conspiracy show. I have no clue how to do this. I don't sound anywhere near as cool as Art Bell. One of the treats for me, if you're, I don't know what age bracket this would fall into, but I remember about 20 years ago just driving between L.A. and Vegas in the middle of the night, and you listen to Art Bell, coast to coast. He was broadcasting out of Pahrump. And he'd have all these alien stories over the radio, and here you are in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, it's a great vibe. And sometimes it's, how do I say this? Sometimes it's cool just to get out of that 9-to-5. I'm being facetious here, but, you know, we get so, I don't say brainwashed, because it sounds such a negative word. But what you got, Mr. Jared? Message from chat. Skinwalkers. Somebody said, what do we know about skinwalkers? I went down the skinwalk. Have you checked in skinwalkers?
I think it may
have. The Skinwalker
have.
Ranch.
It's been a while. I'm on other rabbit holes.
Well, we can send that though.
Yeah.
There's Skinwalker Ranch, I know, in Nevada, and it's specifically it's called Skinwalker Ranch for a reason. All right, I think that falls more into the category of the Native American, what is it? I don't say demons, that's the wrong word, but there's a whole category of phenomenon when you go into Arizona and Nevada. That they have the portals. Remember we started looking at that, the stargates. They actually have,
oh yes,
they actually have the stargate, right?
Oh, well, in the movie. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And so the Southwest is a very interesting piece of geography in and of itself. And if you want, we're going to give you some rabbit holes here. Here's a good rabbit hole. It's a very good question to ask for you. There is a telescope down in Arizona, and it's called Lucifer, right? And it's called Lucifer, and I forgot the name of the mountain it's on, but you can look it up. But NASA and the Vatican fought tooth and nail for I don't know how many years with the Native Americans for that specific spot on top of the mountain to put their telescope.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, out of all the mountains around, right, thousands of mountains, NASA and the Vatican wanted Lucifer, the Lucifer telescope, on top of that specific mountain, that specific spot, right?
Yeah.
And they even went to court, right? They went to court. I don't know how many years they went to court and how much they had to pay and all this kind of stuff. But they ended up with their telescope, Lucifer, on the mountain in Arizona. And when you ask the Native Americans why that specific mountain and that specific location, and they will tell you when you research it, for them that was their Stargate. That was their Stargate location, where, according to them anyway, that's where, how do you say this? It's kind of funny saying it over the window, but where they made contact with the other dimensions, right?
Yes.
And entities came through, passed through. They came and went as they pleased.
Just like similar to CERN.
Similar to CERN, which is happening right now.
Yes.
Right? That's an interesting one. What? Yeah, right across the street.
It's Saturn, yes.
Right across the street, right? So, and it's true. CERN, they're actually trying to make their own Stargate.
Yeah.
Go through it in different directions. So the question is, if you could go through one of those gates, would you do it?
Would I?
Yeah, you.
No. I'm happy here. We can't get off the Earth. We can't go to the moon.
That's right.
I'm good.
You're good?
I'll keep doing my research.
Research it, but don't necessarily need to touch it, right?
Yes. Well, especially because it's called Lucifer, I'm going to stay away from that one.
Right. Well, the Lucifer thing is just kind of interesting because it turns out that we give this guy or give this entity many different names, right? And the bottom line is we don't really have a clue of what it looks like, right?
Right.
All I do know is that the whole purpose for Lucifer's existence is to deceive us, right?
Right.
Is to deceive.
Well, and what does NASA mean in Hebrew?
You got it.
To deceive.
Right.
Okay. Just a little tidbit.
And when the disciples ask Jesus when will the end come, the very first thing he says, he doesn't even answer, they give him a date. The very first thing he says is don't be deceived.
Yeah.
Right. So, as we approach the end of this full send conspiracy hour, let's see if there's so much we didn't touch on. Clones. I know you like the whole clone thing.
Oh man, we got to get back into Hollywood.
Well, the clone factories.
Oh yeah.
You know what's kind of funny is how many songs there are when you actually dissect them. How many songs there are about them being clones. That's always kind of funny. And we go, that's silly. I don't know. How old are you?
42.
So, anyway, there was a big hoopla way, way back then when they, quote-unquote, cloned the very first sheep.
Yes, I think Dolly the Lamb.
Dolly the Lamb. And we were like, oh, my gosh, right?
Yeah.
And we threw a big stink. One thing I've learned is when they announce that they're going to do something, that they're about to do something, it usually means they've done it for the last 20 years.
At least.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the whole clone thing, even though it hasn't really been my thing, to be honest with you, because it's, I don't want to say it's boring, but it's like, I'll buy it to a certain extent, because if they can clone a sheep, they can clone anything, right?
Correct.
And people are spending $100,000 to clone their cat.
Right.
Right? Or their favorite chicken. So, I'm sure there's something there. Do you remember a company called Clonade?
Are they in Canada?
Yeah. Exactly okay. Right. Good memory. Right? There was a company up in Canada called Clonade, and people thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then you look at it a little more seriously, and you follow the links. The key to all these things is to follow the links, right? Because so many times the homepage is just icing on the cake, but you got to click through the links.
Yeah.
Right. So this leads to where we are now, right? So I would say many in the truther community, and I will say even though we sound like we're nuts, which is great,
I'm
happy with that. I will say many, many people are waking up every day, and in their gut, they know something's not right. Right?
I agree.
They can't always verbalize it. But they just know that something's not right. So even just now, right?
Right. Well, I mean, another thing too. Like, why would I pick the whole flat Earth belief just to be ridiculed by everybody? I mean, at work, I'm the conspiracy nut job. I'm fine with it.
I'll take it.
I can show you a few proofs if you want, but most people deny it. So. But that's okay.
So do people make fun of you?
Yeah, they do. They made fun of me when I said they were going to force a vaccine, and I was right. Weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in Ottawa, they're now up to jab number 5.
Ooh.
Right. So 2 weeks to flatten the curve led to what I think we're on day 900 now. Right. So we can end with this. I would say for those who know in their heart that something's not right, can't quite verbalize it, right? But you know that we're in interesting times, and what we had in 2019 is gone, right? And that's not coming back, right? And the truth is, it's been gone for a long time. And I would say in this country, even though they've been planning this for a long time, it started when you agreed to take your shoes off at the airport, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if it's all on the back of your $1 bill, right? It's kind of funny, right? If you look at your $1 bill, the front is interesting, right? The little owl there on the top right that you can't even see.
Yeah. Magnifying glass.
Magnifying glass. But when you just look at the story that's on the back of the $1 bill, on the back of the $1 bill, the one eye, right? In God we trust. Which God is that, right?
I think it's actually Gad.
Well, I started to go down who that actually is, but it's not. Yes. But it's not who we say, yes, who we think it is, right?
Correct.
When the average person in America looks, oh, in God we trust.
Yeah, no,
that's not it, right? Right. And announcing the birth of the age of the new order, whatever that means.
Yeah. So I'm going to add something with the all-seeing eye on the pyramid. So you can actually draw a perfect pentagram and spell the word Mason out of it.
Yep.
So just a little tidbit.
Yep. This is one of them. He's looking at his $1 bill. Jared, see the $1 bill? And we don't pay attention to it.
No.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine.
Star of David above the eagle.
Yep. And the uneven number of feathers on the eagle's
13,
wings.
Right?
No, one's 32, one's 33, I believe. And
I'm thinking of the
yep,
the leaves and the arrows.
And you notice how on the front there's two ovals and one shield around the ones.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And there's a little dot there on the top left of the shield, right? A little dot. If you don't, mm-hmm, you're not paying attention to it. But when you actually magnify that, it's the owl.
Yes.
Same owl as in Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that'll. That'll send you down.
It all ties together.
Right. It's also all tied together.
So for me, it does.
Yeah. But this is a fun topic.
We need to do this.
Jared,
again.
Were you entertained? At least a little bit?
It was entertaining.
There you go.
I can't deny that.
There you go. It's a good thing. So let's see. We can end with. Okay. Let's make a prediction. Right. Where do you see us going? Next 6 months. We have 2 minutes.
Well, if everybody's not preparing.
I've noticed a lot of people here, even here in Reading, right, in the supermarkets, they're buying a lot of food.
I would recommend people get some food if you don't have food.
Right.
Maybe a little fuel on hand.
A little fuel. And around here, stock up on your ammo. Your guns and ammo.
Yes. Ammo, right, is not a bad thing to stock,
right,
up on.
But I have noticed that a lot of people here in town, right, in the supermarkets, they're buying food. A lot of food stocking up, right? Because they can feel something's coming.
Yeah.
So, well, Mr. Colin, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
For joining us. Full Sand Conspiracy. If we sound like complete nut jobs, that's fine. But if one or two of you decide to go down and research people like Eric Dubé, I would do that.
Yes.
John Levy, I would absolutely do that.
Yes, for sure.
Right? Autodidactic is excellent. I love Campbell from Australia and a few others. There we go.
Ryan, I would do Ryan Zim as well. He has a really good video with Aylin Childs,
yep,
and he goes down the whole Freemasonry stuff on that one. That's
excellent.
A good one.
So, thank you very much for listening, and I think we'll be back with our regular show next week. Thank you very much.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.